What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Concrete Message Podcast. My name is Sean, and I'm here with my co-host, Pee-wee from Bola. We hope you enjoy today's Concrete Message. What's going on, guys? Welcome to episode one of The Concrete Message. I'm Sean, and I have my co-host Pee-wee here. We are excited and honored to have Edward and Izzy the Hitman with us today. How are you guys doing?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for having us, by the way.
Yeah, man, it's an honor. We're excited about today. We're excited about tomorrow. We get to play some 3v3. Yep. And I heard some interesting, and I saw some interesting stuff last night. 13-1. What's going on with that, Izzy?
Yeah, you know the thing is, you got to start with your closest friends.
Yeah.
So I just gave him a little preview of what people can expect tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah.
I think 13 goals in I think 2 minutes.
Yeah, something like that.
Because he was tired after 40 seconds, so I was polite. I didn't want to score 50 goals.
What was the one about? You said it was a little bit of pity, right?
No, Pee-wee. The thing is with Pee-wee, he had so much faith in himself because he's playing with the guys over here.
I'm about to work out.
And the thing was, he was talking all that. Messy things, and I'm gonna beat you, and blah blah blah. So I just took off my flip flops and I
just handled it. Right? Hey, I heard there was a pana in there as well, right?
No, the pana was the fastest pana ever.
Nobody didn't count.
Nobody didn't count because Pee-wee thought that I was scoring. But I think he misunderstood the pana thing.
Like when the ball goes out of bounds, like okay, yeah. I guess, you know.
Hey, well, there's some tension there, so we're gonna have to like figure that out tomorrow. You get a bigger court, 3v3. Pee-wee can have some people
whenever,
to help him out
wants.
As well.
You can come before breakfast, after breakfast. I'm always ready.
I'm just gonna
flip flops, bare feet, shoes.
I'm just gotta
on the boat.
Whatever you want on the boat. I'm glad I got you out of retirement though. You haven't played 1v1, right?
No, I didn't play 1v1 for over 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
I don't feel honored. So.
Yeah.
But for some guys.
Yeah. Well,
you start with the closest friends, right? Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this question. So, like, what's your guys' background? Did you both grow up playing street, or was it on the 11 aside or futsal? Like, just kind of share your background.
Well, in Holland, it's common to just pick up a ball and go outside with your friends because our infrastructure is built in a way that on every corner of the street you got a court.
Yeah.
So it's normal to just go outside with your friends and play street football. So everybody starts off with street football, and then at around the age of 5, 6, you join a club, which I did also.
What club was this?
KFC. I played there until I was like 15. Then I got scouted for a professional club.
I heard Pee was playing for KFC. Same club?
He's playing for KFC. Oh, okay. KFC. What about you, Izzy?
No, for me it was... It was an easy way to start street soccer because I have like four brothers,
mm-hmm.
and they used to play a lot. Everyone knows.
Are you the youngest?
Yeah. No. I still have a younger brother, but he also played football.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
I'm the youngest.
I'm in a lucky family. So that's how I started to play. I just rolled in. You know, it's a family thing.
Yeah. So how did your love for street soccer or street football come about? Would you say
what was
the biggest influence?
The freedom, I think.
Yeah, and for me, maybe it wasn't even like I wasn't influenced or whatever. I think it was just something I love to do.
Yeah,
and,
that's good.
Back then, especially, it was kind of like an escape for me.
Yeah, escape
like
from what exactly?
Reality.
Just reality.
Yeah,
things going on. What about you, Izzy? Is it just?
Yeah, for me, it was like I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
No coach.
You have like a rebel attitude, I feel like.
I think that's why the Izzy Hitman.
I've
it's like kind of like James Dean.
I've heard like stories like Izzy doesn't want to practice, so he sits down. Izzy just wants to hang out, so he just hangs out.
No,
like,
I just do whatever I want.
Yeah. Sounds like our government, man.
I think one of my closest friends witnessed it last night. that I'm doing whatever I want.
Yeah.
When I want.
13-1 kind of shows you.
Because I wanted to score 13.
Yeah.
So I scored 13.
Yeah, you know, you sound like? You sound like Ibra. You have that Ibra. Zlatan?
Zlatan.
Oh, Zlatan.
Yeah, you have that attitude.
Well, he played in Amsterdam. So
Ajax, yeah.
So he got it from him.
Yeah. I think he just picked it up off of you, man.
Yeah. He also got a street background, too.
I think with street soccer, you need a personality. I think that's one of the things that you miss a lot these days with social media. Because you see a lot of guys that practice and do a lot of tricks, but they don't have personality. They did.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be everyone.
It's pretty plain.
Yeah, you just gotta be yourself.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's what they say in America. You're basic.
Yeah.
You ever heard that? You're basic.
Basic.
Yeah.
So I think that's.
Yeah, it's the biggest thing, huh? Yeah. Were there any big influences in your style of play? Like any people that you're watching? Anybody in particular that you were like, dude, I want to be like that. Not be like that guy, but I pick up a lot from him.
Well, I think you're going to be surprised, but I wasn't influenced by a football player or soccer player.
Was it a dancer?
No, it was a basketball player.
Kobe? Yeah.
No, it was like the guys from N1, AO, Hot Sauce.
Street like basketball. White Chocolate.
I don't know, the professor.
Yeah.
Because the thing was, when I joined the club at the age of 15, I got scouted by a professional club. So I didn't play on the streets so much anymore. Then when I got back onto the streets, these guys had like a certain level.
Yeah.
And I was the professional guy, but I couldn't do what these guys were doing. So I felt like, what can I do to become a street football player like these guys? But I just couldn't react my opponent. So I gotta, you know, find another way. And I saw these guys of N1 getting into the minds of their opponent and doing all these tricks and just faking me and just go the other direction. I was like, yeah, I can do that.
So yeah. Was there like a, even for you, Izzy, was there like an addiction as far as like how can I get into some, like how can I figure out how to get around them? Was there like an addiction, like I got to figure something out, and then you start creating your own style, your own tricks?
Yeah, there was addiction. No, because every time you do a trick and you get blocked by a defender, you try to remix it so he can't block you or defend you.
Yeah.
So I think that was an addiction, because at the beginning you want to defeat one player.
Yeah.
And then you want to defeat two players, and then you want to defeat three players. You know, it was just remixing all the tricks and try to create another thing, and just you gotta go into the head of the defender.
Yeah.
I think that was the biggest.
Yeah.
And I think my addiction was the feeling that I got from the crowd. That was my heroin. I needed to have that fix every time. Yeah.
What did you get from 13-1 from the crowd? Did you get anything good?
No, I just got a lot of complaining from the guy who I played with.
Pee-wee, what do you have to say about that, man?
I think I said enough. I don't know.
Well, they say men lie, women lie, numbers don't. So doesn't have to say anything.
Right? That's a good one. I never heard that.
Jay-Z told me.
Jay-Z told me.
I think it was for me. I always wanted to play somebody that was way better
than you.
Yeah.
Like way better than you.
No, well, that's how you learn, you know. And like honestly, like I haven't been playing and whatnot, but like when I have the chance to play somebody like Edward when he comes, like.
It's an honor.
Like, I get motivation. I'm like, okay, it's Edward. Like, okay, now I want to play somebody, you know?
Yeah, I don't want to play you guys, just to be honest with you. Like, I just don't want to play you guys.
Every time you want to play, just look at Pee-wee. Do I want to be this guy?
Has Pee-wee gotten a lot better since you guys first met him?
No. I haven't played in a while.
Answer that question. I think he's good. I think it's good. I think the only thing that we see outside of Amsterdam is the functional thing behind the trick.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest problem with this generation right now.
Yeah.
They do tricks, but they don't know why or when or how.
The reasoning behind it.
Yeah, the reasoning.
Yeah.
They don't know the story behind it. They don't know why somebody created that trick.
Okay. So, all right. Well, that's a good question. So
yeah, that's the thing that happened yesterday. Like, after we played and everything, I cooled down a bit. And I was, Izzy always tells me, like, okay, nice trick, but it's not functional, you know? So I'm like, okay, cool. So they were teaching me how it could be functional. And to me, that's cool because I get to see like a whole different dimension. Mm-hmm. I see my trick as like, I want to invent or do something like different. But then like, like Izzy says, it has to be functional. And I'm like, okay, then how can I make it functional? Even though I have used it before during a game and it works for me, but like different little things that they help out.
And you know how he made it functional? Let us do history.
Yeah, they do. They tried. It took them a while.
No, the thing is, when you invent a trick, you gotta think that your defender is in front of you and the goal is behind the defender. A lot of tricks, what I see right now is, they don't know where the goal is. They don't know where the defender is. Just
wild.
I was looking yesterday after the training of James. There was another guy giving a training to some kids. They would do the scissor, but the defender was on the left side, and they would do the scissor on the right side. So that,
yeah,
that's a really big issue.
Yeah, there has to be an end goal to you're doing.
You need to know why you're doing something.
Yeah. So what was the reason? I'm gonna ask you your trick as well. What was the reasoning behind the AKA 3000?
The AKA 3000. I did the AKA 3000 because when you get the ball.
Yeah,
and the defender is in your back. The fastest way to move or to turn without him seeing the ball is doing the AKA 3000, because when you do the AKA 3000, the man is behind you and the ball will come on your left side. So when you turn, you get the ball next to you.
Gotcha.
It's really difficult to imagine, but...
Well, which trick are we talking about?
what's like your go-to?
I think it's like the triple AKA in the air or something like that. And... what the reason is behind it, the AKA is like a hook, so it's a hook. So I'm gonna try and fake him to my right, and then bring the ball back behind his back and grab it on the other side. And it's also an and one trick, how they act like they throw the ball, but
a lot of and one influence, man. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy. I you know, recently just saw, I think it was a professor. He started coming out again and playing stuff and. I think that's going to be coming back soon. Like,
hopefully.
Yeah, that's.
I like the bone collector.
The bone collector. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Crazy. That's like what 2005, 2006,
1998.
Well, I mean, I'm not that old, so
I remember. Thank you. 2001, they were still going at it. I think N1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those things.
Yeah, I remember. I used to, you know, wear the clothes and.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy, man. So, how do you guys like? Because I know, like, in America, street soccer or street football, it's not a big thing. It's growing. Mm-hmm. But what do you guys feel your long-term goal is with street football as pioneers of the game? Like, and what do you guys feel is the long-term
solution? What I would like is that the kids or the next generation will understand that street football is a tool for 11-a-side. You know, it's kind of like having money. Money doesn't make you happy. But it makes life so much easier.
Yeah.
And if you know how to use the street football tricks, you know, you can get out of any situation on the pitch.
Yeah.
But use it only when you need to use it. And when you're able to do that, you're a more confident player, and a confident player is a better player. So, yeah.
And I could totally see that, like, coming from my guys, is like some of them, they never been outside their city into, like, we had the pleasure of being invited to Manchester 2016, and these kids have never left their hood, never. Yeah. But because of the ball and because of what we do and because of the connections we now have, we were able to get out of here and see another world. And to a lot of them, it changed their lives. Like after that, I started traveling more because I wanted to see more, you know, and I wanted to see where the culture came from, and I flew to Amsterdam, and I tried to see, soak up what like I felt it was street culture coming from, you know, from there.
Yeah. What about you, Izzy?
I don't know what the question was, man. I was talking so much.
I'm just saying, what is like? What do you feel? What in your heart do you feel like the long term goal is for street football?
Now the thing I talk a lot about is functional tricks. I think that's one thing I want to do for long term, that you can actually see the tricks back on in the MLS.
Yeah.
That people will understand that street soccer is more than just only tricks and having fun, but you can use it in a game.
Yeah.
I think that's a thing I want to.
Yeah, you know what I get is from what I'm like hearing you guys say is it's not only a way to challenge an opponent, but it's really to challenge life and go beyond what people see, you know, like being able to travel, being able to have these opportunities where it's not the norm for you anymore. Like, you know, me and Pee, we always talk about like these guys from Bola. It's like some of these guys have never seen Europe or have never seen anything outside of that, the US, but they, from playing, they get to see that. Like some of these guys have traveled more than myself. I'm just like, that's awesome, because you have the opportunity through street football. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that some people tell us like, how the hell are they guys affording all this shit? Like, you know, it's like, like it's just the ball, you know, like it takes us everywhere, you know.
Yeah.
That's another reason why I.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah. That's why I named Bola, because it's the ball. Because you follow the ball, it's like, it'll take you.
The ball is powerful.
Yeah, it takes you everywhere. Yeah.
How was it following the ball yesterday evening?
Come on, Pee Wee.
It was good. It was nice to see the ball.
Following the ball the first 10 seconds. And then he got tired.
Yeah, I got tired. It's no been problem. 3-4 months without playing. It's okay.
It's all
right. I'll try to do something tomorrow.
When are we coming back?
I don't know, next month.
So you have a month.
Okay.
You have a month. Yeah.
Challenge accepted. 1 month.
15-0.
get a second goal in, right?
Second goal, that's funny. Dang, that's good, man. I like what you said. It's like, it's kind of like your getaway from reality, you know? Like, we all have that one thing that allows us just to, like, pull away from what we're facing, and that's the ball, really.
On a positive note, you know what I mean? You know, you can do so many weird stuff to clear your mind or escape reality. And now you can use it in a positive way, in a creative way. Like I always say, the world is my brush, and the world is my canvas.
Yeah.
You know, I can paint my own picture. You know, this is my ideal world.
So dope, so dope. Do you guys think it's important for kids to play street football in order to develop as a player?
Yeah, because they get more
confidence.
Yeah, and a confidence kid is a better player.
Do you have any examples of a particular player that you guys know of that played, you know, street
or
football,
work with,
who took it from the streets to the pitch, literally?
I think Zlatan is the best example.
Yeah,
you know, look how confident he is. He was almost he's almost cocky. But
you know, he is cocky.
Yeah, but that makes him who he is, and that makes him so super talented and so super good. And
lovable.
I think Ronaldinho, right, is the biggest.
I'm saying more so like on a local level, like in Amsterdam. Do you know any of kids that
I think
are
all of the guys who made it to the national Dutch team?
Yeah.
But apart from that, you see, we are the best example. You know, look at you, look at me. You're from Amsterdam East. I'm from this background with a weird situation. And look at us now, man. We meet people that you normally don't meet. If it's celebrities or just common people in the hood.
Yeah.
And you have the same conversations with like two totally different worlds. You know, we travel all around the world. If I kick the ball to somebody, I receive a smile, and he kicks the ball back. You know, it doesn't matter if they love football or not. So, I think we're the best examples.
Yeah, that's good. Pee-wee, anything? Anything from your end as far as the guys from Bola?
From Bola?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I see. Who do you guys? It's gonna be controversial. But do you guys see some kind of like somebody that might come up if they keep working, like in our squad, like, or in the LA scene, or like in the US, like a players or players that you guys think, okay, this guy, if he continues, he has some kind of potential, you know?
Yeah.
Or like
all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think they even, how do you say it, get all the potential out of of what they've got.
Yeah,
I think because they don't know.
Yeah, I totally agree with you.
No, that is true. I don't think sometimes they see because our circle, like our scene, is so small in the U.S. that we only see each other, but we sometimes don't see how other people see us. And also, like, I was gonna say, lost my train of thought.
I think the thing here in LA that they forgot how to win. Instead of how to play, because the basic is winning, right?
Yeah.
And if you win a few games, then you can win in a more beautiful way. Yeah. But what I see here in LA is that everyone wants to do 15 akas and 900 tricks, but they forgot to score.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting and valid point you got there.
I think that's worldwide too.
Yeah, but also like nobody wants to be the wingman anymore.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a team, everybody wants to be the main man, and that's not how you work in a team. You know, there's one guy that needs to take charge, or you know, who's going to be the big star, and the other one has got to work for him. And that's my opinion. You know.
Yeah.
It's a team effort. Nobody wants to be the wingman anymore.
No, but you don't
if
have
I was in shape, I'll be
you don't need to forget that it's football.
Yeah.
So football is scoring and winning, right?
Yeah.
Not freestyle, or I don't know what other sports.
Let's not talk about freestylers.
Is there freestyle here in the room?
I think there might be a freestyler
in the room. No, but
that's another episode, guys.
Yeah. No, but like
the dirty ball.
Not like for me, I will always say this, and like I met Edward 9 years or 8 years ago, and for me, in the scene, in the street soccer scene in LA or in the US, like there was a before and after.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I saw it, because before Edward came, like there was no real motivation. Yeah, we do 1-2 thing tricks and whatnot, but we would not see the potential, you know. And then people like Edward came, and Nelson the Cook, and then Izzy, and then a lot of people from all over. But like my first real encounter with street football was when Edward came, you know. Like for me, like I knew who he was, but I didn't really know who he was. So when they invited me over, I'm like, all right, like
win him. The same mistake you made yesterday.
Yeah. hey
Pee-wee, it's all right, man. I got your back, man.
No, it's cool.
I don't know how
it's
I got cool. your back, but I got
no,
your back.
No, back in the day, I was more in shape, and I didn't get shaken.
You didn't learn anything, man, from back in the days until now. You're making the same mistakes.
could we end the podcast now?
No. Hey, so Edward, you've known him since 9 years ago, right?
Eight years ago.
What about you, Izzy?
How long I know
Pee-wee? Yeah.
I don't know. I still don't know if I know him. No, I think a year now or two.
Yeah,
we had some.
Yeah, like met in person. Met in person, yeah. Like
no, in Manchester, I just won him 10-0 or two. I didn't know him. But I think I met him last year in Amsterdam.
Last year?
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, you know, it's because it just brings up something interesting for me. Is like when I first met Pee-wee and just like the whole Bolo crew, man, they were like super welcoming to me and like open arms and just like, I mean, me and Pee-wee just were like, we just talk crap all the time and have fun. But like, what did you guys see in I mean, cause you've known him longer. So what did you see in him and just his whole crew as far as like taking them in and kind of putting them under your wings?
The thing is that when I saw Pee-wee, I saw a passionate kid.
Yeah.
And for me, for sports, passion is the most important thing.
Yeah.
I don't like people that chase money or chase a career out of football. In the first place, you know, that is something that can come later. I think sport is for relaxing or clearing your mind, and especially passion, you know, because I think a passionate player is the best player, because whatever comes out of your heart is the strongest power that we've got as human beings. So we stayed in contact, and we, you know, there was like a good connection, and then I came back here because of James, so thank you for that again. And then we got reunited, and it was still the same kid with the same passion. And there was like a street football war going on in between two crews. I didn't want to pick sides, but all of a sudden you saw how these two crews were acting among each other.
In LA.
And I felt so much more comfortable and happy with the Baller crew, because they just respected each other the way they are, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we should do that more as human race.
The vibe is good.
Yeah,
I like the vibe.
The vibe is good.
Like even when I left whatever else I was doing, like I still kept in contact with my friends. They're my friends. I was never letting anything go
beyond that.
Yeah, beyond that, because for me, I always like over here. You started off juggling and playing street. It was kind of like a hybrid kind of thing in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started splitting because of certain things that happened, right?
Yeah.
So there was this bad vibes between freestylers and street football players. Like they couldn't even hang out together. I'm like, these are my friends. Like, no, like what the hell, you know? So that's when I decided, I'm like, you know, I'm a create bola. It's like, it's going to be freestyle and street football together, at least to hang
community,
out.
Community, yeah.
A community, you know. Yeah. And that was my main thing. And like, I'm, yeah. like, they sometimes they tell me, like, oh, so you're manager, you're their boss. Like, I'm like, no, they're my friends. We just happen to have different roles. They're just my friends.
Yeah.
And when I met Edward after that period of tension, like, I didn't really want to, like, approach him because I'm like, okay, they probably, like, brainwashed him or something, or told him thing about me, because it was that bad that this person would get young talent or people that had some kind of potential, and automatically now, since I wasn't part of it and my guys, we were now the enemy for no reason. So I'm like, I was sitting there and I saw Edward. I'm like, and like, I smiled, and he started walking towards me. I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna get a lecture or something. And no, the first thing that Edward told me is like, yo, like, me and you, like, yeah. there's nothing there, you know, like, there's no beef or anything, like.
Yeah.
And then we started talking about the first picture we took.
I want to see this picture actually. I'm gonna.
Yeah, it looked different.
Illegal.
Izzy, what's your take on that?
I don't know. I wasn't here.
Have you seen the picture?
No, I don't want to see it.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to see the picture.
But yeah, it's ever since then, I think we've been trying to work together and build the community over here in the U.S., you know, yeah. which is now it has become a big market because of the brands.
Nike,
you know?
Adidas. Yeah, I think
Puma, yeah.
I think Pee-wee is the best person to do it. Serious. Even though I beat him once in a while, but I think like he's a good guy, and I think he will find a new legend here in the States. That's what I think.
Yeah,
sure. I think with the right information, and with the help of Edward, I think there will be a very good street soccer player here in the States. I think because there's a lot of courts now, and they just need to know the ID behind the game, and I think it will develop like real quick.
Yeah,
rapid fire.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I'm gonna. You have anything to say?
Do
you
about
on build on that or?
No, I totally agree, and that's also why we got a special focus on LA, because you know the scene is bubbling, the scene is quite big, and you know there's a lot of kids in LA.
Yeah.
You know?
Just gotta work together. That's the thing.
Yeah, and like AC said, they gotta understand that it's not just grabbing a move from the internet and just copy it just for the hell of it, but just understand that whatever move you see, there's a reason behind it. You know, somebody
yeah.
came up with that move for a certain reason, and they really need to figure out what that reason is. And apart from doing those tricks, they gotta understand how an opponent works. You know what I mean? So whenever I do something, even if it's a body movement or whatever, they're gonna react to that. So they gotta understand when they need to fake him, and then you know. Get away from your opponent, like, and take. How do you say that? Pick up the pace.
Yeah. That's good. All right. So last question I'm gonna ask you guys. I think this is a good one because I want to hear some stories.
I just don't want it to be about me.
No. It's you're. I'm not gonna keep pushing that area. but
the
13-1. The 13-1. Yeah.
Is that the name of the episode? The 13-1.
No. I'm gonna rename it. So I want to know, like, how did you guys get picked up by Rolandinho, and what's it like? Do you guys have any good stories, bad stories? Like, just kind of, I just want to hear, like, from the very beginning, like, did he walk up to you? And
well, it was kind of weird. I just got a text message through WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And this guy asked me if I wanted to be a part of the Rolandinho C team. So I really thought that some of my friends, and I thought AC specifically, that he was pulling a joke on me. So I didn't trust it, so I was like, who is this? And then he told me his name and what his role was within the organization and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I still didn't trust it because I know this guy for 15 years, maybe 20.
He's a jokester, huh?
Yeah, so yeah. I just called a friend of mine who lives in Barcelona, and he worked with Ronaldinho, and I asked him, do you know this guy? And then he told me, yeah, he's the real deal. Then I really got excited. I'm like, what? How can this happen? You know, this guy from Holland, just from this neighborhood, and he just got a text from Ronaldinho. How weird is that? And then, I got in contact with this guy, and he told me, yeah, do you know like 50 guys that you think is worth of being players of the Ronaldinho Glove Street team? And I couldn't give him 50 names because I don't think there's 50 guys at the moment that can, you know, really represent a team like yeah. that.
I heard Pee Wee was the first one.
I was going to ask you, was Izzy the first one?
No, I heard.
Yeah, actually, he was, yeah. He was the first one to be picked. Yeah.
Hey, that's so confirmation. You guys are good friends. Yeah. See that?
Yeah. Of course.
You're number one.
Yeah, and then from those kids, he picked six kids. And yep. so in the first place, we had six players. And we had to go sign the contracts in Manchester. And this one guy missed his plane. So we were like, how
oh
can
no.
you miss your plane? And
two
said,
times.
Oh, yeah, I missed my plane, but I'm going to get the next one. Missed it again. So we was like, if it's so important,
yeah.
forget about him. And then and another guy wanted to make some money, and he said,
"Yeah,
I'll come a day later." And then everybody saw him on the internet just playing in I don't know where. And I said, "Ah, what do we don't need guys like that. You know, we need guys that really want to work for the team." So
yeah.
So that's my story.
My story is not that crazy because I got a text message from Edward, like always. So it's not that. Excited, you know.
I think it's not exciting to get a text message from me.
I just got a hey, yo, what's up? We're going to Manchester, meet Ronaldinho. I was like, yo, okay. How much? No.
Don't say no. That was yeah. your first that is your always your first question.
Is Pee Wee there? No, I don't have a no. For me, it was like. You know, when he came into the room, it was like, oh, it's Ronaldinho. But I'm not that star struck. So I don't.
No sweaty palms?
No.
No.
Hey, the first minute, I think, first 30 seconds, Ronaldinho, and then it's over.
Yeah. Any good story?
And that's because he's been in commercials since he was a kid, you know?
Yeah, oh. I did a commercial with Messi.
Yeah.
So when you do a commercial with Messi.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's the greatest.
That is an
one
amazing
of the
story,
yeah.
by the way.
It's a what?
That's an amazing story, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, you want to
you know how it
that,
started?
Yeah.
That story?
No.
With a text message from Edward again. Yo, what's up? You want to go to Barcelona? I said, yeah. Yeah, commercial with one.
Is Pee going to be there?
Is Pee going to be there?
How much?
How much? Yeah, of course.
No, these kids both were 15 years old.
Yeah.
And they did a commercial for Nike. I'm not sure what it was.
It was Recuerda mi nombre. So, I don't know how to say it in English.
Remember my name.
Yeah. And Messi was one of the biggest talents back in the days because Ronaldinho was the number 10
mm-hmm.
at that moment. And so they had 10 players from the youth of Barcelona and they brought me over from Amsterdam. And it was a commercial and at the end we said like Recuerda mi nombre and then at the end of the commercial you saw Lionel Messi and he said Recuerda mi nombre, Lionel Messi. But I think everyone remembered his name.
Yeah.
And everybody in the streets knows this guy's name,
so
you know.
So
from that commercial, the greatest of all time,
yeah.
You know, we're born.
You know who else was in there? He plays for the Galaxy now. Jonathan Dos Santos.
Mm.
Is he in the commercial?
Yeah.
Oh, it's funny.
He comes out of the window and he said, like, Jonathan Dos Santos, recuerda mi nombre. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
We need. You guys need to see that commercial. Yeah.
You were in the commercial too, right?
Yeah,
the Fisherman.
I was in the back, yeah. I was your double. I was doing the footwork when you were chilling.
You're still my double.
That's good.
Oh, I know what you mean now.
That took a while.
So any good stories as far as playing with Ronaldinho? Any how is he?
As a person, how is he? Like
to me, he's just an amazing guy. He is like he is on TV. You know, he's always smiling. He's very spontaneous. And my experience with him, which I will always remember, is that we had to do a commercial with him for FIFA Street, and I think that was back in 2006 or something.
2005, 2006.
Yeah,
I was like around college.
Right.
Wikipedia
yeah.
or something. How do you know that?
Because I've been in the scene, bro.
Ooh. So we had to do a commercial, and we had to act like there was a frame for QuickTime, and we had to go around it, and then we jumped into the frame. We were playing against each other, and he jumps out, goes around the frame, and he shoots at the cross, you know, so the thing will disappear. So they kind of had like this routine for him to do, and they took the whole day for the thing, and he came in and said, yeah, it's going to be very difficult, you got to go do this, 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 and that. and the guy just did it in one go, you know, and it was like a roller tape, was like super high in the air and it's on a string, and he just juggled it and bounced it up against walls and everything. Wow. He turned around and a volley, boom, hit it and said, "Can I go now?" It's just like easy, man. It's like super, super arrogant.
I'm done. How much is it? Yeah.
No, Ronaldinho is a nice guy.
Yeah.
Humble?
Yeah, really humble. And some good experience with him.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Well, hey, guys. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you for having me.
It's, I mean, it's an honor to have the pioneers of street football right in front of us, and you guys getting to share and actually getting to play tomorrow. Yep. I'm not gonna play.
Why not?
Because
I heard 13-01. I'm done.
Oh,
that's,
man.
I'm out. I'm, I'm.
It can only be better.
After 15, we stop counting.
Yeah, after 15. Yeah, there you go.
They get amnesia. They don't know what's going on anymore.
Yeah, Pee Wee, you have anything?
Like, thank you guys for coming and like and being truthful with us, and you know, it's not everybody that could have you guys in your podcast, and thank you for allowing us to do this with you guys. It's pretty cool.
I'm sure a lot of kids are going to be impacted by it, and just by the example you guys set, like it's amazing, really, because there's something that a kid can look forward to who's may not be good 11 aside, but he knows that he can play street football and make a living out of it. So it's awesome, and for those of you that are listening, thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you on episode 2.